And I'm here to share with you from the Word of God. And we're in the book of Romans. The theme is unashamed. The book focuses on establishing the harmony between the Jews and the Gentiles. There in Rome, there was a church, and it was made up of Jews, but also some Gentiles had come to the Lord. And so you have these different cultural backgrounds all together, and they're kind of struggling to have connectedness. In the book of Romans, Paul is writing to them about the importance of setting aside the unimportant matters and really being a spiritual family together. And it has a lot to say to our church. Our church also has a great diversity. We've got white collar, we've got blue collar people, we've got no collar people. We've got North Country folks, we've got the college students, we've got the college faculty and staff. And the one thing we have in common is that we're all sinners. But we have all these cultural differences, educational differences, and we're here in one church. We're one body in Christ. Now, there are theologians that have written about church growth and says, hey, if you want to grow a church, then what you need to do is to focus on one specific group of people. Let's go for the white-collar people, or let's go for the no-collar people, or the young people, or whatever. And we have chosen as a church to say, no, we all live here in the North Country, and we are going to be a community together. And I think that's a beautiful, beautiful way to do it, but it's not without its challenges. And we want to talk today a little bit about the importance of being people who welcome one another, who bond together in that unity. We are not ashamed of the gospel, but we're also not ashamed of each other. We love one another, and we want to be that family living in harmonious unity together. Chapter 15 is Paul's continuation and his kind of a concluding summary of his plea for this harmony between the Jews and the Gentiles. And last week, Glenn did a great job talking about this in chapter 14, that we need to act in love in spite of the differences that we have. Paul called for harmony without necessarily calling for a resolution of all those differences. Paul didn't pick sides. And we can live that same kind of way and relate to one another in that same way today. We come from all different kinds of backgrounds, bring a lot of differences to the table. And you know what? We don't need to resolve them all. We just need to love one another and work as a team. But what does that look like, and how does that work? Well, we're looking at the book of Romans, and we want to read, to begin with, chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. We are to bear or to carry the load of the weaknesses, the failings, the shortcomings of the weak, of those who don't have the competency to deal with all the problems that they have. There are a lot of burdens beyond what people can handle, especially in days like today. There's just so much out there, so much. Things are so different and so difficult in our culture. And a lot of people are really struggling. A lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ, a lot of us are really struggling with burdens that we really can't handle. And Paul is saying we need to not just be interested in our own pleasures, our own, hey, I feel good, and making ourselves feel good. But we need to do what really ministers to our neighbor, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to our literal neighbors, people that may not know Christ, but really need his help and need our help. And we're not to just please them to make them feel good, but we're to please them to help them be good and to minister to their needs. Verse 3, Paul says, "For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." And we need to take the needs of others very seriously. And we have this beautiful example of Jesus Christ, that he came down out of heaven to earth. And we celebrate this at the Christmas time, the incarnation. And it's a beautiful story. Jane and I are working on a puzzle that's actually a Christmas present we opened early from one of our daughters, from Carrie. And we're putting together this picture of the nativity with the angels and all the shepherds and the wise men and so forth. And it's a very challenging puzzle, but it's good to do. It's a time to remember the coming of Christ, but it's also a time to remember why he came, what that incarnation is all about. It's about meeting our needs. It's about setting us free. It's about empowering us in our lives to be different. And Christ wants to work through us. He now comes not in the flesh, but in us, in his church, in our flesh, and wants to work through us to minister to one another and to a very needy world. We are here to experience God's power. Chapter 15, verse 4 says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope." So for us to minister to one another, we need to be in the Word. We need to be reading the Word, studying the Word, and walking it out in our lives. We are to endure. We're to endure through endurance and through encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. This idea of enduring, enduring through trials, enduring through temptations, through persecutions, through hardships, through the sacrifices that it takes, that takes a lot of enduring. And sometimes it actually takes a lot of enduring to be in the body of Christ, because we don't always have all these natural flow together, everybody feels nice together. Sometimes we need to endure with one another and put up with things that, I don't know, but I'm going to love them, and I'm going to accept them and reach out to them. And God calls us to have that attitude of endurance. I am going to hang in there and not give up. And he gives us the ability to do that. And he also gives us the encouragement of Scripture and all the promises there in God's Word. And we can endure, and we can have encouragement, and we can have it through God's presence. And again, in verse 5, we read, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, it's God who gives us the strength and the power and the grace to endure, and not just endure, but to have encouragement and to be happy in the midst of that and to have hope. And it is God who gives us this power so that we may together, not just individually, but together glorify God, honor him, demonstrate his magnificence in our lives. That's how we glorify him, is to let him live in us and work through us so that his power, his mercy, his goodness is poured out on others. And as they look at us, they don't see us. They see God, because we're trusting in him and we're acknowledging that and proclaiming that as we minister. Ah, what a good God we serve. In verse 7, it says, "Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." I love this word welcome. Glenn made reference to it last week. Excuse me. It's the Greek word proslambano, and it's lambano with a prefix on it that means toward. Lambano is not a Latin American dance like the tango. Hey, let's dance the lambano. That's not it. Lambano is not also a exotic creature in the Colombian rainforest. I want to go find the lambanos. It's not something people in the mafia do when you get out of line. Hey, pay up or I'm going to lambano you. That's not it. Lambano is to welcome, to embrace. And I think my favorite example of that is Donna X. Ware on Sunday morning, because she's always going around, "Hello, John! Hello, Jane! Hello!" And she lambanos people. And it doesn't have to be a physical thing, but it is that emotional, that spiritual, that mental welcoming of other people. "I appreciate you for who you are. I appreciate what you've got to say. I appreciate what you do. I love you. You're valuable to me. I proslambano you." And that's what we're called to do. It's accepting one another just as Christ accepted us. It's welcoming. In Acts chapter 18, Priscilla and Aquila, lambano Apollos. They find him. He's spiritually open. They bring him into their house. They provide for him, and they teach him the word. In Acts 28, Paul is on a boat. It gets shipwrecked, and they land up in a storm, and they end up on this island, and the people on the island lambano them. They bring them in. The people have nothing except the clothes on their back, which are all wet and salty, and the people bring them in and welcome them into their house. They lambano them. And again, Romans chapter 14, which Glenn referred to, God accepts the weaker Christians. He welcomes them in. They don't maybe understand everything. They don't know everything. They don't agree on everything. And yet God welcomes them in, Jews and the Gentiles. And Jesus calls us to lambano people. And Jesus, more than calling us to do that, Jesus sets the example. When he was here on earth, he reached across the cultural, the ethnic, the social, the economic barriers. He wasn't ashamed to relate to the Samaritan woman. He reached out to her. He reached out to the prostitutes, the sinners, the tax collectors, people whose politics were wrong, people who were greedy, who exploited others, Zacharias, the tax collectors, the sinners. He accepted them. He didn't approve of all they did. He didn't agree with all their messed up views of politics or whatever, but he accepted them. He related to them. He welcomed them in. Whether it was the woman in adultery, the woman at the well, he knew how to lambano them, how to love them, how to reach out to them. This idea of welcoming is active. It's not passive. It's reaching out. It's wanting to go beyond the barriers and relate to the person. You know, in this time where politics is going wild, and we've got Republicans and Democrats in the same church, and yet that's to be a minor thing. What's important is loving one another and being a community that is demonstrating God's magnificence. We accept one another. We don't agree. There can be doctrinal differences. We aren't endorsing the behaviors of people, addictions and perversions and abuses, transgressions of God's holiness. We don't endorse that. And we don't want to approve that in any way. But we want to look beyond that to people who are needy and who are hurting, and love them. We want to please them in a godly way, not just try and make them happy, but introduce them to what happiness is really all about. It's about knowing God. We want to encourage them, and encourage them through Scripture that offers hope, that offers transformation. And again, we want the focus to be on the glory of God. We're not just here to build an institution. We're here to demonstrate God's magnificence. We're here to change lives. We're here to have our lives changed. Paul talks about this, starting in verse 8. He says, "For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. It is written, 'Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing your name.' And again it is said, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.' And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come. He will, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. All those passages written to the Jews about the fact that the Gentiles were to come to Christ. God called out the people of Israel, a special name, special people, chosen by God, chosen by him to have fellowship with him. But he clearly made clear in the Old Testament that they were to be a light to the Gentiles and that God had a view of bringing the Gentiles to himself. So we should not see ourselves as a holy club, but as a light to the world to ignite those fires. One of the things I love about our Christmas Eve service is we light the candles and then we light somebody else's candle who lights somebody else who lights somebody else. And we spread the light until the whole room glows. It's beautiful. We're not going to be able to do that this year, at least as a group. But we can do it as individuals and reach out to one another and to the world around us. And we need to set aside our differences, set aside even the problems that are surrounding us, and be a healthy community. Paul then goes on and shares, and I'm not going to read this, but you can read it for yourself. He shares how that he himself has been that. He's an apostle to the Gentiles, and he's been reaching out to them. And now he's going to spend his time taking a collection from the people in Macedonia, from Jewish areas, or excuse me, from Gentile areas, and they've taken up a collection for money. And Paul's going to transport that down to Jerusalem, to the poor people there in Jerusalem who have real serious needs financially for food, shelter, clothing. And the gifts from the Gentiles are going to help them. And he's going to Jerusalem to do that. And when he's done in Jerusalem, he's going to go to Rome and visit them there to encourage them and build them up and then go on to Spain. Because the gospel isn't there yet, and he wants to see the gospel spread to the whole earth. And he writes to them with these points, and he says that he wants them to be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, bringing life to them, bringing power to them. I'd like the music team to come up at this point. We have this example of Paul. We have this example of Jesus, who reached out to the unreachable, to those who were rejected by their culture. God wants us to do the same. You say, well, I can't do that. I'm supposed to stay at home and maybe go to the grocery store. But we can still reach out. We can reach out to one another in the body of Christ. We can actually go to the grocery store for some of the people in our church who don't have the transportation, don't have the health and the strength, or even the resources to go do the shopping. There's a left-hand fund in our church to help people with finances, and Bob Snow is coordinating for reaching out to help people with the groceries and other needs that they have, or trips to the doctor's offices. And you know what? We've got something called the internet. We've got telephones, and we can text, and we can Zoom, and we can email one another. We can call people on the phone and talk to them. And I want to challenge you to reach out to somebody on a daily basis. You may be locked into your home, but you can still have contact in the body of Christ. You can still reach out. And I want to encourage you to set a goal to reach out to at least a person a day and in some way go out there and lambano people. We're called to Lombano. God bless you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you filled us with your love and your grace, and help us to not just sit on it, but to share it. And in these difficult days, Lord, just anoint us to make a difference in each other's lives, to care for one another, and to care for the world around us. We commit ourselves to that. and pray for your strength and wisdom and direction. In Jesus' name, amen.